League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bases loaded, two outs. Hit, wow. Deep! This is on its way! Grand slam!
Yeah, whatever. You feel so good about it. You did it off of Stanek and Rayleigh. Don't feel great. Stop feeling great about yourself, Seattle. Seattle's on a roll right now. I mean, they're going to fall apart. They're not the Astros. They're not as good as the Astros. They're probably not as good as the A's. But they're 9 games over 500 now. They're really good at home. They're 12 games over 500 there. So it's a pretty good baseball team. And you know what? You caught them at a bad time because they are feeling really good about themselves. But you look up and down this line. Why is a Shed Long Jr. such a pain in the ass last night? Why is, listen, they don't have this, they can't hit. What the hell? How are they scoring 11 runs off you? Ty France and Mitch Haniger is their best hitter. And you shut him down at 0-for-4. J.P. Crawford had a nice night with 3 hits. But a grand slam by Dylan Moore, a 188 hitter? Really? I mean, this is unacceptable behavior, Astros, jumping out 7-0 and losing. This is unacceptable behavior. And we're going to have to do something about it. Like bring up Pedro Baez, who threw an inning last night. And 15 pitch inning, and how many strikeouts did he have?
He didn't say. I just saw a scoreless inning.
Scoreless 15
pitch inning. But it's his fourth appearance in the minor leagues. 2 at the Skeeters. So I would think that it's
getting close.
I would think we're getting pretty close. Alex Bregman had made his first appearance. I would think. My guess is, U.S. lost in softball too. This is the worst Olympics ever.
How are you losing in baseball to Japan?
It's not baseball.
Softball.
How are you losing in basketball
to baseball.
The French?
Oof, oof.
How are you losing to everybody?
Oof.
Everything.
Oof. Are you, though?
Yes.
It's not girls baseball. It's softball.
Did he call it girls baseball?
Yes, he did.
Well, it's kind of like baseball.
Well, Japan won another on home soil. You know, the home team in these type of events always gets a boost.
They do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they actually, it's cheating because they had fans in the stands. Did you see family was able to go there?
Yeah,
and
about 14
and we had
people
nobody.
Were there. I know, no one could travel unless you're like a coach.
Yeah. And Kat Osterman, you're
kept flashing to her because it's her last Olympics. I kept flashing to her throughout. She wasn't even on the field. They had sad cat face the entire
isn't
time.
Isn't she their coach?
Is she?
I don't know.
She's
player
not coach?
A player.
She's in a uniform. I guess it doesn't. I see coaches in like the pullovers and a hat. She's wearing a full out uniform. Do you still do that in softball?
They
don't play.
Pitch her, though.
By the way, do you? This is something I thought about during the NBA playoffs. Speaking of, it was. It's always been weird. Like it would be weird to see a manager not in a baseball uniform anymore.
Right.
And yet, when you think about it, it is actually very, very weird for managers to be in uniforms.
Yeah.
If you think about the other sports, Do you guys see anyone wear coat and tie anymore in basketball?
They kind of got rid of it with the bubble. And
it's never changed. That's one of these full-time permanent change. Budenholzer is on the regular just looking like he's just going to have a drink at a bar after work. He's a real estate agent who's coming in on a Friday. He does have a meeting, but it's not a big meeting, so he can just wear his little sweater. And that's what he looks like to me. He's like, Budenholzer doesn't. Most of these coaches are like, yeah, I'm out on the dressing thing now.
And Cat Osterman did pitch earlier in this girls' baseball tournament, as John thinks of it. Yeah, so she is a player on the team.
She's a player?
Yes.
She looks like a coach.
Well, right, she's 38 now. Years old. Sick, but yeah, she's been doing it a while now. She did pitch earlier and pitch well.
Mm, good for her. Good way to go, Kat. That's what I told her. I told you guys yesterday. She's a better Houston athlete than James Harden.
See, this isn't aging well, because the Simone Biles thing was like, better Houston athlete now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
the greatest Houston athlete ever, Simone Biles, quit today.
Well, at least the team portion.
Here she quit.
Yeah, I'm
today.
Out on the team, but I'm gonna stick around for myself.
But I'm gonna do the Indies. I don't want to hang out with you, y'all. I'm done with y'all. Astros lose 11-8. Still a 5-game lead over the A's. A 6-game lead over the Mariners. Fall a game behind the Red Sox for best record in the American League. But no big deal. It's just when you got a 7-0 lead with Luis Garcia on the mound, you're hoping that maybe, you know, you might be able to pull out a win. But that simply wasn't the case. Let me throw a monkey wrench into this whole University of Texas and Oklahoma thing. There's no done deal yet with the SEC. What if Texas... If behind the scenes, the Big Ten is trying to lure Texas to the Big Ten?
I think they've already got it. I mean, it'd be interesting. I think Texas is a better fit with the Big Ten, to be honest with you. If the Big Ten had Notre Dame, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, that feels more right than Texas. I can't stress this enough. The Southeastern Conference is more of a cultural thing to me. I think the Aggies fit better in the SEC. I don't think Missouri is a particularly good fit, to be honest with you. Maybe Oklahoma would have fit a little bit. I feel like Texas is a good fit with the Big Ten. I just don't see it happening. I think we've gone too far down the road. And but to me, Big Ten was a better – I think Big Ten was a much better fit for them, honestly.
I think the Pac-12 was a better fit for them, too.
Yeah, but who wants to go – Pac-12 is – that's – other than the fact that you need a West Coast, Pac-12 is weak right now.
Yeah.
God, they look weak.
Which would be very nice for Texas to go into there.
Well, but the Big 12 is weak and they still can't win.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you mean? Like, you got a weak conference and you can't win.
Well, I don't know. I think the Pac-12 is weaker than the Big 12. Absolutely is. Since there's no Oklahoma in the Pac-12, it certainly would be weaker. Yeah, and actually they do. They have, what have they lost, 7 of the last 9 against TCU? They lose to Iowa State. They've actually lost to Kansas.
Kansas State? You have chances to, like, Texas has layups, basically, in conference. You just think all you got to do is beat Oklahoma and you should win. They can't always beat Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Yeah, it has not been the case for them. So going to the Pac-12 wouldn't be any easier for them. They just have to get better. What I thought was interesting is Jay Billis is now pining for the ACC to merge with the SEC. If you did something like that, you basically are shutting down. Then you're getting to basically two, almost maybe the idea is just one major conference and that's it. And if that were the case, then I think you're talking 48 teams, not 64, and it becomes much more exclusive. I think the worst thing in the world would be for
yeah, but I don't know how you could keep the Pac-12 and the Big Ten out of, unless the Big Ten is what you're talking about joining there and make it to close to 50 teams, whatever. Well, with three conferences,
but you can't
leave the Pac-12 out of this.
If you added the ACC, everyone's coming along, and if you added that to what the SEC already has. You now are talking about, you know, damn near 30 teams. Well, what's to stop you from
it would be 30.
Yeah. So it'd what's to just stop you from, I think you're going to cherry pick the Pac-12 teams you want in, and then you have the Big Ten teams and the stragglers in the Midwest and the Plains, and you're done. And yeah. I think there's two major, but I don't think you'd have two of 30. I think it would be much more exclusive. Like, Baylor doesn't get into that scenario. I know Baylor's been really good in I need to think about that because basketball has been a major factor, both women's and men's. Maybe they do. Maybe it's based on, you know, it depends on how much they're basing it on football.
Well, you know who's hurting is TCU. because there was, you know, listening to the Blitz yesterday, and I think they made a pretty good point. You know, the Pac-12 is attractive for, you know, a few of the teams that are straggled, that are left from the Big 12, but not religious schools. I don't see the Pac-12. I saw their point. I think AJ and Fred both said those are religious schools. They ain't going to the Pac-12. Pac-12 ain't taking that on. Because it's all public school. I think Tech would be okay. Iowa State and Kansas State might actually be okay. Where TCU, Baylor, and SMU are both sitting outside looking in.
Well, it all depends on how much money you can make. Let's not forget, the revenue is going to be first and foremost. SMU is not going to be a revenue producer. I don't think TCU is going to be a revenue producer. I don't know if Houston's going to be looked at like that. Cincinnati, I mean, I don't know what factors they would consider, but like Washington State, that school's out. Washington State is like Texas Tech. You know, they've been, ironically, you had Leach coaching at both of them. But they've been factors before. They've been pretty good teams. Texas Tech has a, you know, we're talking about Texas Tech is a made major waves in basketball just a couple years ago. But I just, when it's all said and done, this beginning of these super conferences is a really, really scary thing for schools like Baylor, Oklahoma State, Washington State, Oregon State. These are schools that have been protected for a long time, and they're going to find out they're going to have the same things happen to them that University of Houston faced and Rice faced and TCU when the Southwest Conference exploded and was gone.
TCU, SMU,
those teams weren't protected.
Nope.
Those teams weren't protected, and you know Baylor got in and Houston didn't, so Houston's not going to feel sorry for anybody.
Nope.
Because they're going to be like, yeah, exactly. We got blown up in the 90s, and we've been trying to find our way ever since then. Well, guess what, Oregon State? This may happen to you, too, unless the state is strong. And obviously, I saw where Oklahoma State's or the Oklahoma State president,
yeah,
Casey Shrum, basically said that it's difficult to understand how an Oklahoma institution of higher education would follow the University of Texas to the detriment of the state of Oklahoma, said Shrum. The breach claim is in reference to Section 3.2 of the Big 12's bylaws, which reference third parties attempting to induce a member institution to leave. I think the SEC is going to say, they came to us. I'm sure that's what they're going to say.
So, yeah, she said, man, earlier today, OU delivered a document, blah, 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 blah. This action was strategic, deliberate, and is the result of months of planning with the SEC. Yep. And you were out of the loop. And so was everybody else. And so was Texas A&M. Honestly, Texas A&M has got to be pissed, just pissed at how this all worked out. Now, I'm telling you, I wouldn't sleep on the Big Ten, Texas to the Big Ten. I wouldn't sleep on it.
Why? Why when we're this far down the road with
because
the SEC?
Because it's not a done deal, and we see not that Texas A&M.
Why
reaction,
are you saying what is out there about the
because,
Big Ten?
Because the Big Ten saw and the Big Ten said, "Wow, well, how about if we make a more attractive offer to you, Texas? We see what's happening there at the SEC. Guess what? We got to bolster ourselves. Maybe behind the scenes, the Big Ten is saying, "Watch, we're going to make you a better offer than the SEC is because it could cost up to $80 million for Texas to get out of this deal, and maybe the Big Ten is willing to." You know, maybe allay some of those costs. We'll see. I just wouldn't sleep on it. That's all. 814 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk a little bit about Craig DeCerf.
Oh, love Craig DeCerf. So Craig DeCerf has been the big boss over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC for a few years now. He came over and it was really cool getting to go out there. They won this big award from GMC. It's a 5% award, which means they're the best of the best. And I'm not surprised because of the culture that creates, but watching the entire group of people who work there from service to sales to porters to everybody, they all buy into the culture that it has created. And the reason I tell you this is because it's that kind of culture of family first and customer oriented service, which is why they have such low turnover there in Angleton and why so many people come back for second cars, why so many guys like Altuve and Correa and Bracamonte and so many of the Astros. Joe Smith got his over there. You can take advantage of great offers, great prices, but most importantly, just great service and great people. And I do not say that lightly. I put my name on Craig DeCerf's businesses because I know the way he treats people, and I think you're going to really enjoy the car buying experience. Go look online at LanceZCars.com and start the car buying experience, and they'll make sure it goes seamless for you, and they will work with you over time to make sure that you're happy. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. It's rare that we have updates in the morning, but for those of you following the Olympics and the women's gymnastics, Simone Biles has pulled out of the team event. She apparently performed on the vault and missed her landing and then just walked off the floor. She left the floor with a trainer, eventually pulled out of the entire team final with a medical issue. Well, being said.
The team event is over. The U.S. won silver, while the Russians, although they can't even be called the Russians.
The ROC.
The ROC won gold. So the Team USA does not go three, does not have a three-peat in team gold in the Olympics.
And Simone pulled out. Now, this says with a medical issue, but the coach has said there's nothing wrong with her?
The coach said nothing physically wrong with her. Not an injury. The coach called it a mental issue.
Ooh, that's not...
Mental issue she is having.
Did she go Scottie Pippen on this one?
What do you mean?
I'm not going in the game.
He was mad about something.
She might. You don't know if she's mad.
No, I don't know if she's mad.
Well, there you go. She could be mad about something. Did anybody say anything to her? You don't know.
Was the coach pseudo-racist like Phil Jackson apparently is if you read his book? Did the coach say something like Phil Jackson would write his book?
In the 70s. Ah. Del, he's different.
He's grown now.
In the 90s. I don't know. I don't know what. I just... It's just kind of an uncomfortable feeling that Simone Biles, who's the Houston sweetheart, is just kind of bailed on team, staying in the individual.
Well,
but she's just not at her best. I don't know what's happened.
Maybe it's a Houston thing. Deshaun bailed on his team.
So did James.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, after he gutted the team. After James is able to gut the team. My kid, I had Mason. Me and Mason went and played some frisbee golf together. I spent a little time with Mason. Hit me with literally a barrage of about 1,000 basketball comments in a row. I was just so worn out by the end of it. But he just said, why did we get John Wall instead of, he said, if Chris Paul would have stayed around, and Clint Capella would have stayed around, the Rockets would have been serious contenders for a championship.
You explained
in 20.
It to him, right?
Yeah, but he said, why would they give up Russell Westbrook instead of... He goes, Russell Westbrook is going to play all the time, and John Wall was always hurt. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a... But Russell Westbrook wanted to be gone because he didn't want to be here with James, and then James left. You know, I don't know that that would have meant Russell would want to stay, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I don't know, Mason. Just worry about the draft. So he's convinced that the pick has to be Jalen Green.
Well, it
has seen Jalen Green at one single second.
It has to be because no one wants to work out for the Rockets but Jalen Green. Evan Mobley was like, nah.
Apparently the latest word is that Evan Mobley is disinterested with the Rockets.
Jalen sucks too.
Jalen sucks. Nah.
I don't want to work out for these guys.
Well, but they didn't work. They didn't even work him out.
What has happened with players who like, I'm just not going to work out.
Jalen sucks or Evan Mobley didn't want to work out for the Rockets.
Or was it that the Rockets never even were interested in
it? It was positioned as these two didn't want to work out for the Rockets.
Huh. Well, I don't even think that they're, well, Evan Mobley should have been an option. And I guess Jalen Suggs should have too. There are a lot of people that are pro Jalen Suggs. It's going to be Green or Cade Cunningham. That's it. That's it. We're going to find out in just two nights now. Thursday night, we've got the NBA draft. And we'll see if the Rockets are actually going to move up to number one. It's still a possibility. it's still a possibility that they get K'd. Because from what we've seen, are the Pistons all in on Cade Cunningham? Apparently not. And if they're not, down and grabbing something
Chad else? Ford told me he believes that Pistons don't really see him as a big fit. And that he believes that the Rockets want Evan Mobley, but they keep putting Jalen Green out there because they know that the Pistons want Jalen Green and they'd rather flip from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
And hope that it's Cade Cunningham and Evan Mobley. And his thought is the Rockets keep throwing a smoke screen up there like, you're either trading with us or don't trade behind us because we'll take the guy you want. We'll see if that's going on. But if Evan Mobley doesn't even want to work out for the Rockets, what if he pulls the ultimate 2021 player thing and like the Rockets draft him like, I'm not playing for you.
2020? It was just
2021.
2021.
Steve Francis did
that.
Yeah.
Steve Francis did it.
No.
Oh, no, playing.
Vancouver.
John Elway did it.
2004, Eli Manning. My dad said, you guys are bad.
Don't try to blame the Zoomers for this one.
2020.
Well, 2021, they won't even work out for you. Like, we're not doing combine. We don't even want to work out for you.
I don't want any part of your trash-ass organization.
Hey, Evan, I hope I didn't wake you. You did. Do you think you could work out for us?
Not interested.
Because we have a draft where we want to give you millions. No. Have a great day. We've got you a gift card for Poke if you'd like some Poke.
Well, if you know you're going to make millions someplace or the other, I guess you just choose. You just tell them, I don't want to make millions here. I'd rather make millions here.
Yeah.
Where? Detroit? Well, you want to make these millions in Detroit
over Houston?
No, Evan Mobley
would be Cleveland.
Cleveland? Give me a break. Neither one of those cities check out versus Houston.
Well, tell it to the kids who don't want to play here, apparently.
I would be concerned about those people. The Jalen Suggs thing bothers me because I think Jalen Suggs is going to be a good player. I think he's a baller. And if he doesn't want to work out for the Rockets, like, hey, Jalen, no one's projecting you in the top two. If the Rockets want to work you out, shouldn't you at least like be interested in that?
You would think.
No?
You would think that he'd be a little interested in being, you know, taken number two overall, but apparently not. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5, you are more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. For those of you just joining us, the Astros lose last night 11-8. We've talked about that. We talked about the bullpen. We talked about Baez possibly coming back pretty soon. Bregman had an 0-for-2 night last night with a walk for the Skeeters. So he's on his way back. That'll add a bat to the lineup. The talk is possibly Craig Kimbrell. The Astros look like they're a longer shot right now for Scherzer, but it's still a possibility. Byron Buxton is still on the table. The Astros are thought to be one of the favorites for that. We heard about Marte before. Don't know that is going to happen. But they certainly could use some help. What would you give up for center field? I don't know that you have to have. We've seen these bats.
You don't have to, but.
We've seen these bats get quiet. But we've also seen it as the best offense in the big leagues. There's no question. Would you use any of your assets on center field that might take away the possibility of getting that closer?
Absolutely
not. Or that starter?
Absolutely not. To me, that's one of those Aledmus deals type deals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not giving up a whole lot for that. No.
No, especially a guy that's as injured as Byron Buxton, when he's healthy and he's good, holy crap, he's a great player. The only problem is he's never healthy.
Right.
He's just never healthy.
Never.
I certainly would like to see him in this lineup, though. That would be awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know what's else is going to be awesome? Ian Rappaport is going to join us. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson with him and Aaron Rodgers. We'll get some inside information from Ian Rappaport, your boy. You got him coming on next?
Yeah, he said just text.
All right. So that'll be next right here on ESPN 97.5, talking to Ian Rappaport about what's going on locally and nationally in the NFL. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastang Ford and the great people that are at Chastang Ford and how easy the deal is. If you're looking for a great way to just get everything that you could possibly want and get it at the price that you want it, what you need to do is go to ChastangFord.com. Immediately, there will be a pop-up of someone says, how can I help you? And this is a person that will talk to you about your deal and you get your deal done with that person. The first thing, one of the first things they're going to say is, where do your payments have to be? And then you can work from there. This is, okay, and then you can customize your vehicle that's perfect for you. It's not like it's already there on the lot waiting for you and you have to take what they have to offer. You get to customize every single thing for yourself. This is happening every day at ChastainFord.com or at the dealership. And if you're looking for the best deal with the best people, best service, everything that goes along with that, I love them. You're going to love them too. Be part of the Chastain family. ChastainFord.com or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 828 ESPN 97.5. Mistaken, okay? For those of you waiting for Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network, he will be joining us at 9:30. 9:30, not 8:30. So 9:30 is the time. Ian Rappaport is going to be joining us here ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come on in if you want to talk to us. You're more than welcome to do that. Anything that we have talked about or more, you got plenty of time. We've got lines open. 713-780-3776. What's next for you, virgins? Talking about the WNBA. Bleep out of here with this gymnastics talk, Lamont. It's a national story. It's a local athlete, one of the greatest, if not the greatest athlete in Houston history, and you can't talk about it on a sports show.
Wait, virgins talk about women's gymnastics? Is that what they do?
That's what he called us.
I don't care about that so much. I just didn't know that's what virgins discussed.
Yeah. What are you? He's called us virgins before. I don't know why he thinks we're virgins.
Because we talk about things he doesn't want to hear about. That's why we're virgins.
If we're ever talking about something that he doesn't want us to talk about, we're virgins.
Hey, you virgins? What?
Dez says Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis didn't get convicted of anything.
Wow.
Not even obstruction?
No,
he didn't get the obstruction charge.
What time did he miss?
He didn't miss any games.
No. Jamal Lewis went to jail, right?
Yeah, Jamal Lewis may have, yeah. What was his crime?
I'll look it up. But I know he spent time, I believe, in the clink.
The reason that we're talking about this is because, you know, Deshaun's criminal possibilities and the NFL teams thinking, nothing's going to happen.
We didn't know the number 10 cases, did we?
No, we did not know that.
So there's 10 criminal complaints that have been filed. That number was a little surprising, or at least new for us. And then, we also found out that two of the complaints were not part of the civil file. So they haven't even filed civilly. They're women we haven't even heard about.
Yeah.
So the number you said went to 24?
24. So now it's 24 women. And then the thought, but there's still a possibility. After, if there is a criminal complaint and charges are filed against Deshaun, the two women who haven't filed civil suits still can. I mean, they'll still be able to. So it's not like, you know, Deshaun is claiming that this is all a money grab. The two that aren't even suing him civilly, that would seem to be a contradiction to Deshaun's thoughts. However, it's not like they still can't file civilly.
Do you guys have a thought about why Rusty Harden revealed that there are 10 complaints?
I don't know why.
So I thought that was, I'm trying to figure that out too. He also made the comment that they will not do NDAs. So there's going to be no signing of NDAs. And initially you think, well, wait a minute. Why would you want people out there not signing NDAs and things?
Well, he explained it.
Well, and that's right. And he explained that Rusty Harden's point was He said, there are a couple women who don't know, who we don't know anything about. Those are the two who filed police, who have not filed civil suits, but they filed police complaints. They don't even know about them at all. He said, we're dealing with, Harden said Watson and his legal team have fully cooperated with Houston police and the Harris County District Attorney's Office. We're dealing with both of them, providing them with information. We're fully cooperating. We've made it clear to the NFL that we'll totally cooperate with them when they're ready to visit with us, but they, out of deference to the criminal investigation, always try to wait until that's completed before they try to talk to the accused person. So keep that in mind. As of today, almost half of these women have given sworn statements to the police, and almost half have spoken to the NFL's investigative team. Both processes are very lengthy. We expect to provide further information to the NFL from all victims, Busby said. But what Rusty Harden said was, he said, he does not want a confidentiality agreement. And here's why. I do not want anybody to be saying that this guy paid off women to stay quiet. And so if there ever was a settlement of any kind, it would have to be public. And therefore, both sides, Watson and the women, would be able to say to the world at large whatever they wanted. So what this is basically the NDA to him is like, all right, people have already put embarrassing stuff out there about Deshaun already. At least he is going to have an opportunity to throw some his own stuff out there about some of the cases. Because Deshaun probably has some comments to make. And Rusty probably, this is Rusty's way of saying, all right, you know what? We have information on some of the women that we're going to be able to put out there publicly. And we want Tony Busby to know. And we want that person to know that that's
going to come out. More than that, he said, we want to make sure that nobody thinks that it's just Deshaun is paying them off to keep them quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Do you really think that's what this is about?
Yeah.
Do you think anyone cares if Deshaun's paying them off to keep them quiet? I don't think it's going to have any bearing on anything.
Well, Deshaun is claiming that he's innocent, and he wants to make sure that everybody knows. And actually, if he'd have just paid her off the very first one, none of this might have happened to him. If he'd have just paid it off, because then nobody would have come forward. Busby wouldn't have come forward. No, everybody would have stayed silent, and the other ones might not have joined in on it. All 23 other ones.
And he may not have 10 criminal complaints filed
as well.
So what's the reason for paying him off if not to keep them quiet?
No.
Since it's not to keep them quiet, so why are you giving them any money if you're innocent?
Right. Well, apparently Rusty doesn't think the settlements are going to be all that big.
I think Rusty told you right there at the confidentiality agreement. What he said was it allows both sides to say whatever they want to the world. He wouldn't have thrown that in there. Yeah. Deshaun, we don't want it to make it look like he's paying them off for their silence, is what he's saying. A confidentiality agreement for their silence.
No.
I think that another thing that Rusty told you there at the back end of it, that both sides can talk after this. And I think he wants to make that point. He wouldn't have put that out there if he didn't. He's not putting things out there that he doesn't want you to know. That's why you asked the question, Dell. Why is he even putting this out there? Everything's being done for a reason.
Oh, I don't. That's not my question. If you're not paying, the convenient thing to do is to pay. This goes away. No one talks.
Right.
Go on with your life. If you're not paying to keep anyone quiet, why are you paying?
Well,
he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, they haven't.
Well,
no, but he even brought up, well, if there is a settlement, then why are we contemplating a settlement if it's not to keep anyone quiet and you insist on your client's innocence? Why are we even talking about a settlement?
I think because he wants to be able to say it was a settlement of convenience. I can't remember what the name is. Basically, a nuisance settlement.
Well, isn't it Rusty?
It's a nuisance settlement.
Isn't it Rusty that has said we're not going to the table with him? We're not settling anything. So,
but it's
Rusty,
not his call.
It's pretty consistent. Rusty's saying we ain't settling.
But that's not his call. Ultimately, it's Deshaun's.
Yeah,
call.
Right.
And that could be a strategy just to push forward the thought of innocence and this, that, and the other. Ultimately, I think we all know a deal is going to get struck at some point. That's my prediction. I mean, if I'm making Vegas odds, Deshaun will do a deal at some point. And when he does that deal, I think that what we're going to see is Deshaun's side is going to have some things to say.
Because
if a deal's done and there's not a confidentiality agreement, what are you going to throw some more embarrassing stuff out about Deshaun?
I've
already put it out there. We're going to have our say-so now because Deshaun hasn't had his say so.
I also think it's a bit of a it's an undercover threat. Like, look,
yes,
if there's a settlement, my client's probably going to tell the world you consented to this, 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 and your name's going to be attached.
Yeah, maybe
so the whole world will know that you did this with him.
That's a good point. Maybe he gets both the best of both worlds. Maybe Deshaun doesn't want to say all that stuff, but it is a thinly veiled threat that, hey, if we do a confidentiality agreement, if we don't do one, that means we can say we didn't pay for their silence. However, both sides can speak to the world. That is his way of saying, if you say something, if you try to embarrass my client after we've done this, we will come out after you too. It works both ways. I think you're probably onto something. That's probably what that was. A thinly veiled threat that, hey, we can talk to.
Is this Red Raider Kevin? Get him in here.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Red Raider Kevin?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up, Kev?
Man, and I really called just to chime in on Deshaun, even about the whole training camp issue. But let me drop this tidbit in, man. Even with if Texas does decide to do an SEC thing, which would be horrible for the university, and I just come to think that, man, maybe that alumni base or those that are in decision making, that have the power to make decisions on that campus or about that university, had just come to realize that, man, this ain't 1970 and Fred Akers and whoever else ain't walking through that door anymore to get any victories. Like, man, it's going to be far and few between to win any type of conference titles or anything else for the University of Texas, man. They're not the program they used to be at all. So, you know, they can take it how they want. But man, they won't see any SEC championships. And as it relates to Texas Tech, you know, I know, you know, and I get it that they've been the stepchild or the little brother of University of Texas financially. I mean, you know, that is what it is around the state of Texas and big time college football. We know they've been one of the more richest programs forever, you know, as long as I can think back anyway. And you know, they'll drag Texas Tech along wherever they go because that's, you know, good revenue for them when those teams match up. And if you look at the whole Big 12 thing, that's why it wasn't a big argument, Texas Tech or U of H. U of H was out of there. First off, you got a, what, five-person seated facility on campus for basketball. You know, who wants to play in Harfines? Even though they've renovated, man, it's still very small. But really – let's talk about Deshaun Watson, fellas. Man, unfortunately, my thought process was from the beginning about Deshaun, why are they even wanting him in camp? So you're finding a guy $50,000 a day if he doesn't come, but you're not going to allow him on the field and you're just going to let him watch film. What is he watching film on? What is he working out doing? And I heard Casario say this, that, you know, he'll just be in film study and he'll work out, but you're not going to allow him on the field. Why even fine a guy for being there that you don't want there? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all, period. I think it was just a whole pissing contest. And, man, look, this is all honestly a good media thing. It's much to do about nothing, because if they started really, really diving into these allegations with professional athletes and things that go on and guys getting paid off. Remember way back when Kobe did his thing and then he threw Shaq under the bus because Shaq had something to say about him. And he was like, well, I should have just paid the women off like Shaq does. You know, so, man, look, if he'd have paid woman number one when this whole thing first started, you guys are absolutely right. We wouldn't know anything about anything. And this would have all been over a long time ago, man. That's all I got.
And he'd have been traded a long time ago. And speaking of trades, I don't think this can't be true. We'll talk about it on the other side. it can't. Did you see this? A possibility of, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, somebody from the Texans that Aaron Rodgers has to have.
Oh, could it be?
Well, we'll talk about it. On the other side.
David Johnson?
In the meantime, yes. Even better. Even better than David Johnson. In the meantime, I want to talk about my bookie. mybookie.ag. Listen, if you're looking for the best way, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Listen, you got all kinds of, the football season is going to start. Do you have a feeling, who do you think is going to be, do you think the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl? Well, you can put money on it. You can put money on the Texans. When I wouldn't, but it's something that you can do. They should take that off the board, but they're not. But if you think that the Texans have a shot at the Super Bowl, put something on it. How about Kansas City? How about Tampa? Now, those are probably a little bit safer bets, I would think. Not the odds aren't going to be as good, but that's what it's going to do. You like Alabama this year? Who doesn't? You know what? How about whoever you like? Who do you think? What about your Aggs? Hey, Aggs, you want to put a little something on your team? You can. You got futures bets, all of them. You can bet on baseball, everyday soccer, basketball, MMA, golf, football, Olympics right now. You want to bet on Olympics? You can. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. And listen, you receive a 50% bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit, which means if you deposit $2,000, they're going to give you an extra $1,000 to play with. If you deposit $200, they'll give you an extra $100. So you got $300 to play with. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, and start playing. Futures or stuff that's going on right now, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Kat Osterman is being interviewed. I swear, did you say she's 38?
Yeah,
correct.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying anything.
I don't like where this is going.
I just asked how old she was.
I told you earlier. You said she looked like a coach, and I said, no, she competed and played and pitched
well.
She's
crying right now. She's upset.
She's crying because this is it for her.
Softball hasn't been the thing in the Olympics since like 08, I think.
They just brought back.
Yeah.
So text too that just said, first Pearl Harbor, now women's softball. The Japanese have our number. I don't know if they have your number. 80 years apart, they're two very different things.
Kind of different.
Have the U.S.'s number.
Have they beat us in baseball?
World Games?
In the World Baseball Classic, have they ever beaten us in a big game?
Probably.
Japan's beaten us in Little League baseball quite a bit, right?
Huh?
Where's Kat Osterman?
She's from here.
She's from here.
Where?
Houston.
Yeah.
If you're a real one, you know her school.
Well, what's her school, Lance?
Cypress Springs.
Okay, sure.
She's from
a real one. Haven't we lost to Japan quite a bit in Little League baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
The Far East always beats us.
It'd be nice if you didn't just say lose to Japan anytime an Asian country beats us.
That's why I asked.
Taipei?
Has Japan actually beaten us?
Do we have to check the birth certificates of these women that just beat our women's softball team?
No, they're not Danny Amante. No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How old did they say they were?
It doesn't matter.
Are they cheating?
There is no age thing in softball. No, there is
they can be however
there could
old
be.
They want.
In soccer, you have
you don't know.
In soccer, it's like under 23 plus like three senior players if you so choose, I think. That's the number. But in softball, it doesn't matter.
Hey, did you guys get to see? This is a cool thing that happens. Well, so a lot of the parents, what they're showing is parents celebrating with their family.
Yeah.
Like we saw yesterday on the show, the girl who won beach volleyball, the U.S. women's, she won her match, and they put her on a Skype, basically, or Zoom or whatever, with her parents because the parents all wanted to be there, and then they got, the Delta variant kicked everyone out. And so what they're trying to do is they have cameras in everyone's homes, and so they're really trying to bring the feel of the parents into the broadcast or the family members. Or in this case, Lydia Jacoby, did you see her from Alaska? First of all, a swimmer from Alaska is your biggest underdog of all time. They have one 50-meter pool in the entire state of Alaska, and that's where she trains. At the age of 17, she surprised everyone by finishing ahead of South Africa's Tatjana Schoenmaker and the U.S.'s defending gold medalist Lily King. And she captured, King got her bronze
her first defeat in a 100-meter breaststroke final since December 2016. A 17-year-old high schooler won the breaststroke 100 meters, won
the
gold.
Did you see the camera in the celebration?
Awesome.
It was unbelievable.
Her high school, like, yeah. And I was just thinking, I started thinking back to 17-year-olds when I was in school, like somebody who would have been a junior headed into senior year, like just thinking of Ann Ruska or somebody who was a swimmer, you know, as a good swimmer at my school, just thinking, what if we had an Olympian who won a gold medal and we're all like, how bad would you be freaking out if you're a high schooler and you've got this amazing, you know, you've got this amazing Olympic competitor. First of all, you're hyped up because somebody in your school that you've hung out with is an Olympian. And then secondly, they're sitting there leading over the final 20 meters for what is going to be a gold medal. And these kids were all freaking out. It was one of the coolest things I've seen in a while, watching them jump around, just thinking they are at an age where you don't usually know an Olympian. Like, that's just, you're not 17 or 18 years or 16 and know someone who's winning an Olympic gold medal. That just doesn't happen. Know them intimately.
Listen,
not intimately.
Did you guys see the movie The Grizzlies, which is based on a true story? Alaska. It's Alaska lacrosse.
Is it Sharif Abdurrahim's move from?
No. It's Alaska, the Grizzlies, not the Vancouver. It's called the Grizzlies. You want to talk about one of the most depressing movies about sports that you'll see, and
what's
and
it about?
It's uplifting because this lacrosse, this guy went up to teach in this remote. Well, it's actually Canadian. It's way up in Canada, but it's about what the people that used to be called Eskimos, and I don't know what they are now, but the suicide rate up there, it's huge. It's unbelievable. And it's such a sad, story, but he introduces them to lacrosse and they go to the Canadian national tournament.
It's not a documentary. It's a movie based on a true sport.
Yeah. True story. Right.
Yeah.
And they go to the, and I'm not going to ruin it for you, but you want to talk about, and that's what I thought of when I saw this girl. Now, it doesn't look like it's nearly as remote and as awful as it is in this movie, The Grizzlies, but it's coming, like you said, coming from Alaska, a swimmer. This is the most unbelievable story. Did you see the Philippines weightlifter?
Yeah,
won the first ever gold medal ever.
It's the first gold medal ever for the country.
For the country,
yeah.
It's same with Bermuda, the triathlete that won the first ever gold medal for Bermuda. It's stories
she was
like
crying,
this,
like we
Lamont,
can't even.
That we're us virgins.
Yeah, Lamont, like us virgins.
Yeah,
we're actually
that's
love
what we're
uplifting
about.
Stories. We're not about depressing just Texans and massages and all that stuff. Mm. We're about uplifting stories like the weightlifter from the Philippines.
I'm not gonna
and
lie.
The triathlete from Bermuda.
I'm not gonna lie. I went to two high schools. One of my high schools would have reacted that way. The other one, like, why we got to sit here watch this?
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. They wouldn't have thought it was cool that someone was winning an Olympic gold medal.
One of them would have been like,
well, hey. This was California though, right? Your high school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they would have been like, hey, I got to go smoke some weed.
No, my guess is the Florida school would have been.
No, I didn't go to high school in Florida.
Went to California.
Two California high schools. One, actually, the major sport was water polo, aquatic. So clearly
they would have been excited.
They would have been hyped up. They actually have had Olympians who played water polo. The other one would have been like, man, can I go to McDonald's? Why are we sitting here? I swear. They wouldn't have even been aware that the girl was even in the Olympics, and they would have said to themselves, swimming.
I gotta watch swimming. But back to this story that I teased before. What Texan does Aaron Rodgers to have?
Now, okay, I need some context clues here. So is it somebody's Twitter? Who is tweeting
it's,
this?
Well, it's everything Texans. There's no blue check mark. But
and why are they
but
saying?
But apparently he's got inside information, which probably not. Just made this up.
Wait a minute. You didn't have a blue check mark and you suffered that same scrutiny.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well,
okay,
listen,
read his bio.
If I'm going to be discriminated against, Read this guy's everything bio. Texans.
Read this guy's bio.
Everything Texans. His bio is covering everything Houston Texans. Everything Texans on Instagram. Yeah. So this is, I don't know. Apparently it's being reported by multiple sources. I don't know where these multiple sources are. But what Houston Texan does Aaron Rodgers have to have?
What? Brandon Cooks?
No.
Not Cobb.
Randall Cobb. He wants.
Okay, great.
He wants Randall Cobb back.
That's awesome.
Apparently, it's one of his requests to return back to the Packers.
Is it?
The Texans became aware of this and soon after traded for Bears wide receiver Anthony Miller to take his place. It makes sense. It's all fallen into place.
Huh.
Aaron Rodgers has to have Randall Cobb back.
Well, look, maybe that's not wrong. If Anthony Miller and Kiki QT will battle it out for slot or whatever, I mean, obviously the Texans would love to get rid of that contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a
godsend.
Just
1 year. There's only 1 year left.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers
knows. There's 2 years left, but 1 year where you can cut him. After this year, you could cut him. But absolutely. Now, you know what you'd get for this? A seventh.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have Randall Cobb here?
I don't want him here.
No one does. Randall Cobb doesn't want to be here.
Why did you have to have him here in the first place?
Because Bill O'Brien's a dumbass. That's why you had to have him here, because Bill O'Brien, everything he does. Bill, I didn't say you suck. I said you're a dumbass.
Calling a man a dumbass, you're going to get a reaction.
Well, I didn't say he sucks, even though he did suck. He's the worst general manager. No, you suck, Bill, okay? You suck too. Well, okay, I hope Alabama sucks this year offensively.
So do I.
At least
game one.
Yeah, so that Nick just goes off on dude.
Oh, he'll get yelled at. Don't worry.
We need it at least for one.
National TV that first game.
Have you ever seen Randall Cobb and Moochie Norris in the same room? They do kind of look alike. Their faces do look alike. I think they both got green eyes, don't they? I'm pretty sure they both got green eyes. I seen the Randall Cobb story this morning on First Thing. First Thing First. I don't know what First Things First is.
I think that's the Fox version of maybe First Take or something.
Oh, my gosh. If this is the case, do it tomorrow. Do it right now. Do it now. Don't wait. Give Aaron Rodgers what he needs to return to the Packers. Randall Cobb. If this is why he's been holding out all this time,
yep.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would be... I'm not coming back until, look, this whole thing, I know a lot of you thought it was about contract. It was actually about getting Randall Cobb back. This is the guy.
Saving him from Houston?
We haven't really talked about it. We'll talk about it some with Ian Rapoport at the bottom of the hour at 9:30. But one of the things Aaron Rodgers basically got was an elimination of the back end of his contract. So he can demand a trade after this season. So Davante Adams... supposedly is open to, I guess Davante Adams is open to an extension, but he put a last dance meme out there before this Aaron Rodgers stuff broke. So basically what that means is Davante Rodgers could end up being the Scottie Pippen who sticks around for a little bit, and this is Aaron Rodgers' last year. That's what it sounds like to me. For him to put that meme out there and for this information to come out, according to league sources Schefter's talked to and Ian Rapoport have talked to. This is really about making it easier for Aaron Rodgers to get out after this year and for the Green Bay Packers to trade him next year.
Yeah.
This is kind of both sides now have come together, and it looks like Green Bay will have Aaron Rodgers this year, but you can probably expect him to get traded next year.
Yeah.
That's what it looks
like.
You don't want him to walk. You want to get value for him. They don't have enough time right now. This gives them a whole year to scout, prepare, and be ready, because they got to find out if Jordan Love. And, you know, that begs the question. At any point, are you going to want to try to get Jordan Love some reps? If you're up 17, are you bringing Jordan Love in a game in the fourth quarter to get him some reps?
Absolutely.
You usually don't see that. Quarterbacks finish games.
Yeah.
Nowadays, quarterbacks finish games. If I'm the Packers, I'm trying to find Jordan Love some reps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 858 ESPN 97.5.
You know Aaron will complain about that too.
Hey, we haven't talked about this. This Javi Baez thing is spectacular. It is spectacular. Last night, Javi Baez and Amir Garrett went at. Well, they've got history. We'll talk about it. We'll tell you about it on the other side. But right now, Lance, what do you think you need to talk about? Probably Gulf Coast and Craig DeServe.
Yeah, if I were to guess, it'd be my friends over in Angleton. I understand that Angleton is a little further away. It's about 42 minutes from downtown. But I'm telling you right now that trip is certainly worth it because you get treated like royalty. They don't hassle you or hustle you when you step on the lot, and they are there to take care of you. Now, they also will tell you that a lot of their vehicles that they're selling are coming in right now, for example, on the delivery trucks. And this is it was never the case before COVID, where everything they had pictures of that they took themselves. But now with the slower production line, they and you guys are not slowing down when it comes to purchasing pickup trucks and SUVs and crossovers. What they're doing now is selling it even before they get to the lot. So now is your chance to take advantage of these great offers and opportunities. But you need to do that because this is, these vehicles move quickly. And they've got some great deals. 0% financing for 72 months on select models of Chevy. That's a great opportunity for you to have that 0% financing. The Chevy Equinox, for example, has 0% for 72 months. And there is much, much more. 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab model. You get it's $61,800 total vehicle price plus options. They've got a $3,000 purchase allowance on that. This is a tricked out, beautiful looking pickup truck that you are going to love. And it's available through my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com, see the stock of inventory that they have, and you can start the car buying experience, even finish it online at LanceZCars.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.